If you would, take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs, which is right after Psalms, if that helps. Proverbs chapter 4, reading verses 20 through 27. Proverbs 4, 20 through 27. As we think about a wise heart this morning, although we need to think about those things more often, seems like that is a popular topic around this time of the year with graduations, etc. Proverbs 4, 20 through 27. My child, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech, and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward, and your gaze be straight before you. Keep straight the path of your feet, and all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. It's always a dangerous thing when you have children come down front for a children's sermon. You never know what you're going to get. And one particular Sunday, that's okay. And one particular Sunday, as children were gathered at the front of the church, the minister was talking about giving your heart to Jesus, and how important it is for everyone at some point in their lives to give their heart to Jesus. And so as the children's sermon was winding down, the minister said, how many of you would like to give your heart to Jesus? And a few hands went up, but not all. And the minister said, you mean someday you wouldn't like to give your heart to Jesus so you can go to heaven? And more hands went up except for one. And Jimmy just sat there. And once again the minister said, are you sure? And looked him directly in the eye. Are you sure you don't want to give your heart to Jesus? And Jimmy dropped his head and looked down at the floor, trying to kind of sink into the pew. And the minister a fourth time said, Jimmy, everyone else wants to give their heart to Jesus. Why don't you? And he looked up and said, because I can't live without it and I don't want to die. Obviously, Jimmy had a different view of the heart than the minister was trying to get across. And sometimes we do think like those children. Sometimes we forget what it is to be a child and to have that imagination, sometimes running wild. You know, we used to sit in church sometimes, and of course now that we've gotten new hymnals, it's more difficult to sit there and pick out hymn numbers to put strange titles together and chuckle and that kind of thing. But we gather today for different reasons. First and foremost, we come here to worship God, to share in adoration and commitment. For you see, worship is not just about adoration. And having a wise heart is not just about adoring God, it also is about commitment to God. We come for fellowship. And I know it's not really a word, Susan. Followship. we come not only to fellowship with each other and fellowship with God, but also to be challenged to follow God in Christ. We come to celebrate and recognize hard work. Work that leads to graduation from high school for Lauren. And to be reminded and challenged that while graduation means the end of one stage of life, it also means that we move on gradually upward and forward to the next era and the next stage. As I said a few moments ago, graduation is not the end. It's not the end. It's the end of one stage, but it's the beginning of another as we graduate and move forward. Yet, this is not just meant for the graduate, like Lauren, preparing to move on to college after a trip to the beach in a couple of weeks, I think. But rather, it is for all of us as we move through different stages of life, sometimes as we move through different things all at the same time. Stages of the heart and of the mind. Now, as Jimmy would point out to us, most of the time when we think of the word heart, we're thinking of the organ within our body, located somewhere near the center of the chest, although it's a little off center. Maybe that explains something about me and some of you, a little off center. But somewhere near the center of the body, of the chest. And we do know that when the heart is healthy, then a person's life can be better. Their physical life, and sometimes even their own mental health, is better when their heart is healthy. You know, we can suffer, as Jimmy reminds us, the loss of a lot of other things and the loss of a lot of other organs. There are many organs we can live without. However, hadn't figured out a way to live without the heart. And that's the wonder of God's creation. Is that muscle that beats all those times for all those years really working hard? And sometimes when some of our other parts wear out, in particular joints, that heart continues to go. It is truly a wonder of all of creation. The heart is also the center of our physical activity. When our heart suffers, we can't do as much physically, which also oftentimes affects us emotionally. But as we all either know or surmise, the writer here is speaking about more than just the physical organ of the heart. Though it is a reminder of the importance of the heart physically, there is something even more important here in speaking of the heart. Now, we have mentioned before that the heart in ancient Middle Eastern thought was the seat of one's consciousness. The seat of our consciousness and the seat of our will. Jesus even said that we are to love God with the heart and the mind, with all of our strength, with all of our soul. The heart was seen as the intellectual center of significance in a person's life. When you have difficult decisions to make in life, especially, what happens in the center of your body? You might be mulling it over in your mind and you might even get a headache from it, but what happens here? Sometimes your heart races. Sometimes your chest is uncomfortable. That was not lost on the ancient writer. About how connected to one's intellect and one's decisions, important decisions in life, the heart is. It is the center of human understanding. And the writer says, as speaking to a child here, which is often done in wisdom literature, and the book of Proverbs is such, says that the person who hears the words of wisdom is to keep them within the heart, within sight, within reach, within the core of one's very self. A wise heart that receives and reflects deeply on wisdom and knowledge is seen by the writer here as the source of life and the source of living, a productive life, one that has true meaning. A wise heart, that is a heart that receives and reflects deeply on wisdom and knowledge, not only brings life, but also brings healing. A wise heart is the source of healing, especially in difficult times. And when we are healed, we know that it doesn't just affect our spirit and our mind, it affects our body as well. We use such words as, "I love you from the bottom of my heart." Or we talk about trusting someone wholeheartedly. It's so important to connect not just the physical, but the emotional and the spiritual and the intellectual all together through the heart. That amazing piece of creation. Not just the physical heart, but that amazing piece of our consciousness, our will, our understanding that God gives us in creation. In fact, the key verse in this whole passage is really verse 23. A verse that asserts that the most important part of obtaining knowledge is to keep watch on the heart with all vigilance. The most important thing we can do if we are to live wisely, if we are to live productively, if we are really to contribute at all, is to keep a watch on our heart with vigilance. The Hebrew text literally reads, "Above all else, keep your heart." Above all else, keep your heart. That means to keep it safe, to keep it guarded, to keep it close, to keep it growing. In fact, the writer goes on to say that a wise heart is the single most important focus of a person's attention. You'll notice that the writer mentions other organs here, but he always ties it to the heart as the most important. The powers of intellect or intelligence provide the source for words from the mouth, sight for the eyes, and guidance for the feet. The young learner must turn from crooked speech, that which is deceptive. And it is the heart, not just the mind, but that connection between the mind and the core of one's being that turns aside bitter speech. In fact, bitterness and hatred generally hurt the person who harbors them within their hearts much more than the persons toward whom they spew the bitterness and the hatred. And a wise heart keeps us from being as bitter or hateful or deceitful, according to the writer. The wise heart helps us to see the proper path as we look forward. But it's also that which grounds us in truthfulness. In the ancient world, forward-looking eyes were evidence that one was being honest and truthful. Of course, it's not just in the ancient world. Psychologists and those who practice psychology on a daily basis without the particular plaque known as police officers, detectives, will tell you that the eyes darting back and forth or down and the refusal to look someone in the eye when questioned is generally pretty good evidence that they're not telling the truth, not being honest. And sometimes you can tell that when you look them in the eye as they look away, because the eyes also probe to see deeply. It is also the heart that keeps our feet on the path, the proper path. Now, we speak of getting to the heart of the matter, don't we? We're going to get to the heart of the matter. Our words come from the heart. And depending on who your parents were or who your friends were when you were growing up little, it was cross my heart and hope to. That's the one I learned. My kids heard cross my heart and hope to spit. Doesn't have quite the same oomph as cross my heart and hope to die. But that was a way to say that we were being honest, truthful, and it came from deep inside, and it would hurt our own hearts and our own being if we didn't follow through. We talk about heartfelt condolences. To let someone know that really, deep down inside, there is this connection, and it's more than intellect. It's a spiritual connection with God and with others. And we really don't like people who are hard-hearted or heartless. Now, I know it's often difficult to separate our emotions and our intellect. But then again, they weren't really meant to be totally separate. As I've already mentioned, Jesus said that we are to love God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, and with all our strength. There is that connectivity to all of those that keep us on the right path. To be mature means that we connect those things and we speak from a wise heart and we decide with understanding. Those decisions come from the center of our lives and they help to lead us to true salvation. Jimmy said, I don't want to give Jesus my heart because I'm not ready to give it up and die. But really, salvation is more than upholding a particular ethical or moral code. Salvation is a heart and head matter. If you make it just intellectually, it's nothing more than assent to a set of proofs or a list of do's and don'ts. And it really won't affect life much at all. At least it won't allow it to be happy. If you do it all by feeling, I feel good, it makes me feel good, so that's why I'm doing it, then there's no real foundation. Especially when one faces difficult situations in life. There's nothing to stand firmly upon because feelings come and go. Feelings are like my favorite rides in amusement parks. The bigger, the faster, the more shaky the roller coaster, the better I like it. But you know, our lives sometimes are like those roller coasters too, and they jerk us around, and some of those feelings aren't good. So salvation, Not just, I got saved. But true salvation for all of life and all of eternity is both a heart and a head matter, connected together. And when a heart is right with God, eventually good conduct will follow. We have to have more than just the outward. We have to ponder what the things of God truly are for our lives and the lives of those around us. Seeking to meld our emotion and our intellect into a compassionate heart. We find healing and wisdom. A wisdom that cherishes hope and peace, love, compassion, and trust. Those are evidences of a wise heart. Practical information for Lauren's immediate future. But don't tune me out, because this isn't just for Lauren going to college. It's for all of us as we face life, and especially as we look to our faith and to the world around us. Be open. Be open to ask questions, to seek deep answers. And if you don't understand, ask again. And if you don't understand from one person, ask someone else. Always keeping in the foreground the fact that God is with you even in the question. There will be many things that you will hear, some of which you won't understand at first, but that's okay. Because this is a process of learning for life. Not just for you as you go to college, but sometimes we forget that it's a process that goes on throughout our entire lives. I often have said in the past, and I still believe it, the day that I start telling anyone that I know it all, they might as well just go ahead and open the hole and drop me in. Because I won't be worth very much at that point. Life is a journey, and a journey of learning, and life itself is an education. An education inside the classroom and outside the formal classroom, in the classroom that God made known as the world. But Lauren, it will take a very wise and seeking and compassionate heart to do more than simply take your place on the bread line with others, counting the dollars. Because when it comes down in the end, the dollars may help, but what is in here is far more priceless than all the dollars in the world. So don't be afraid to ask your questions. You may not always get answers, but at least you're working toward an answer. And that in itself helps the heart to become more healthy and more alive and more wise. Guard your heart with wisdom and knowledge and feeling, and you'll find a wise heart that comes from God. Would you join me in prayer? Oh Lord our God, sometimes we act foolishly, and sometimes that's okay. But Lord, we need to be more wise in the ways that truly count. Help us to seek to have a heart of wisdom and knowledge, compassion, trust, and honor. And help us to recognize that when we give our heart to You, It doesn't mean that we die. It means that we gain so much more life that we could never have without You. Help us to truly be wise, that others may know Your loving grace. It's in the name of Jesus, our Savior, that we pray. Amen. Our hymn of decision is 597. Take my life and let it be consecrated. Our altar is open for any decision that anyone would make, whether that would be to make a profession of faith, to join this fellowship and minister in and from here, or simply to rededicate, which is not a simple task. It's one that takes courage and compassion and wisdom. Hymn number 597. Take my life and let it be consecrated.